The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. The Jews answered Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I imagine most Christians easily recognize the opening words of John's Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Words which culminate in the marvelous summary of our Lord's incarnation, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Less familiar, perhaps, are the final words of the prologue, which seem more pedestrian. "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." With these last words, John wants us to understand that Jesus, God incarnate, that is, God in human flesh, Jesus is the way, the only way we know God. Indeed, Jesus is God's self-revelation to humanity, the way he has made himself known to us. The eternal Son of God, who became our human brother when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The eternal Son of God is God revealing himself to us. In Jesus, God shows you his attitude toward you. He shows you his righteousness and holiness. He reveals also his overwhelming, unimaginable love. Love which moved him to have mercy on you. Love which won for you forgiveness as a gracious gift. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. This simple sentence is a foundational truth of John's Gospel. One that illuminates many of the incidents he records, including the events we heard in today's text. This reading is the contentious closing portion of Jesus' teaching in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. Beginning at the start of chapter 7 and continuing all the way through the close of chapter 8, John records what Jesus said over numerous days of the feast. He records as well the reaction Jesus' words provoked among the Jews and their leaders. The big issue for the crowd was determining who Jesus was. Jesus was consistent in asserting that he had come from God and that what he was saying he had received from the Father. Many who heard him refused to believe what he said. Instead, they interpreted his teaching in such a blindly literalistic way that it couldn't make sense. As we pick up the account, Jesus has just told the leaders, "If God were your Father, you would love me, because I came from God. He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth. He is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Strong stuff here. These men to whom he was speaking claimed to be godly men. They could point to their efforts to obey the commandments and to lead pious lives. They were respected in their communities. And yet Jesus tells them, "You are the spawn of Satan. Your response to me is proof of it. What I speak is God's own word, but you reject it." What Jesus reveals here and throughout our text is how vital it is that we hear and believe his word. He doesn't condemn the Jewish leaders for the sorts of things that would get headlines in the Jerusalem Times. They aren't serial murderers or child molesters. He doesn't condemn them for being unfaithful to their wives or embezzling temple funds. He doesn't identify their sins as anger or gossip or disrespect for authority. He mentions none of these sorts of things. The only thing to which he points, the only sin he identifies when he describes them as children of the devil, is their rejection of his word, their refusal to accept what he says as the truth. And because of this, as long as they persist in doing this, he says their end will be death and hell. The Jewish leaders are committing the sin against the Holy Spirit when they respond to Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" It seems as if they're simply responding in kind, calling Jesus demon-possessed in response to his identifying them as children of the devil. It seems they are responding in kind, but they aren't. When Jesus speaks, no matter how unpleasant it may seem, he speaks the truth. When they say he is possessed by a demon, they are calling good evil, calling love hatred, calling God the devil. They are rejecting the one through whom God was making himself known to them, the one the Father sent in love to redeem the world, the one God had promised to send to crush Satan's head. To reject Jesus' word, to refuse to hear it, to refuse to believe it, is not just a little thing. There are other sins that loom far larger in the judgment of the world, that seem far more heinous, far more vile. Simply refusing to listen to Jesus' word would be judged by most people as just a minor thing, incidental really, in evaluating whether a person is good or not. But that's not the way Jesus sees it. As he says on a different occasion, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. The importance of how anyone responds to Jesus' word cannot be overestimated. Jesus rejects the leader's accusation. I do not have a demon, he says plainly. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. The one who seeks Jesus' glory is his Father. He will judge between the claims of these men to whom Jesus was speaking and the words of his Son. And there's no question at all whom the Father vindicated. St. Peter spoke of it in the second lesson today. God raised him from the dead. Yet the glory the Father seeks for his Son is not in any way a self-aggrandizing glory. The Father glorifies his Son by lifting him up on a cross. He makes Jesus the Savior of the world by providing him to be the sacrifice for sinners. Jesus bears the sins of the world in his body on the tree, so that you and I might be free. Free because he suffered the punishment we had earned. Jesus' greatest glory is that he paid for your sins. That while you were helpless, an enemy of God, he gave his life for yours. In all eternity, redeemed sinners will glorify him for his self-sacrifice for them and for the salvation it earned for them. It's because of this, because of what he would accomplish by his life of perfect obedience, followed by his innocent suffering and death, that Jesus can say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." His first hearers said, "Gotcha. Abraham died. So did the prophets. God used them to deliver his word, and yet they die. So just who are you making yourself out to be that the person who keeps your word will never see death?" Their unbelief blinded them to the truth of Jesus' words. They can be heard, received, only by faith. Simple reason is with the leaders. But simple reason doesn't comprehend spiritual things. Perhaps it helps to remember the similar words Jesus spoke to Martha after her brother Lazarus had died. "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus wasn't talking about mere physical death. That he has power over that, he showed outside of Nain, also in Capernaum, in the house of Jairus, as well as in the graveyard outside of Bethany when he called, "Lazarus, come out." What Jesus has set his sights on here is eternal death, the outer darkness, the bottomless pit, eternal punishment in the flames of hell, the place prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the death that the one who clings to Jesus' word will never experience. For you, because you trust in Jesus, physical death will be merely a peaceful sleep for your body. When the Lord returns and awakens you, he will reunite your soul and body, and you will never experience The second, death. Who does Jesus make himself out to be? The one promised in the Garden of Eden, sent by the Father, given to take away the sin of the world. Concerning that salvation which Jesus would provide, the author of Hebrews writes, Abraham died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, he greeted them from afar. By faith, Abraham indeed saw Jesus' day and was glad. But Jesus is not simply the promised Messiah. He is the divine Son of the Father. In the mystery of the Holy Trinity, Jesus is the Lord Yahweh, the great I Am of Exodus 3 in the burning bush. When Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am," this is his claim. And those who had been arguing with him understood it. He was making himself out to be God, the Lord. As far as they were concerned, this was blasphemy. Of course, if Jesus had been only, merely a man, they would have been correct. But Jesus is more than just a man. And so they were wrong. Eternally wrong. Jesus is God of one substance with the Father, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the divine Son of the Father who came to be your Savior. Concerning him, the words spoken by the Father on the mountain are clear. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. He has the words of eternal life. Believe and know that he is the Holy One of God, whom the Father sent to take away the sin of the world, to take away your sin, so that by believing in him, relying on his word, you have eternal life. Thank God. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.